Father, tonight we rely on you. We trust you. We depend on you. Father, we say our God is big enough, strong enough. Our God and Father, we thank you for all of your love and mercy and kindness toward us tonight. As we come to the Word, your Word has the answer. Every situation we face, every scenario, every circumstance, every obstacle, every burden we have, your Word's got the answer tonight. Your Word is living. Your Word is active, powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. Father, your Word is filled with the anointing tonight. Just waiting for someone to believe. Activate the Word with faith and our voice. Father, thank you for the mighty Word tonight. The Word shall accomplish everything you're sending it for tonight in the lives of your people. So go ahead and speak. Speak into everyone's life, everyone who's listening. Those who might listen in some delayed form, those who are listening live stream, those who are in this physical audience, speak a word to every single person. Speak into every circumstance and scenario and situation. Father, break burdens, heal, change thinking. Father, deliver. Father, we thank you for setting people free through your mighty Word tonight. Father, thank you for the good Holy Ghost. He's our great helper. He's the helper. Where would we be, Father, if you hadn't sent the Holy Ghost? Thank you for the Holy Ghost. He's our helper tonight. We thank you. So we just trust you. We are all your sheep. This is your pasture. And so, Father, you're the great shepherd of the sheep. And we thank you for having your way tonight. We'll give you all the glory and honor. Thank you for unction and utterance tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Praise God. Well, wave at somebody one more time. You can find your seat. Praise God. Hallelujah. If you'll turn to 2 Kings chapter 6, let's thank all of our frontline singers and band for leading us into the presence of God. Anointed people doing God's work, and we appreciate every single one of them leading us into the presence of God. 2 Kings chapter 6 tonight. While you're turning there, let me just say, as I start, in lieu of a normal introduction for this message, let me just drop the normal introduction and just say this. I'm appreciative, deeply grateful. We're sitting tonight. Tomorrow is Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., the federal holiday. And yes, and I am honored, just deeply grateful, not just Dr. King, but the entire civil rights movement has meant so much to me personally, to my family. I know my dad, he grew up on a tobacco farm in Mebane, North Carolina. And picking tobacco was the fate of the family, all six of his brothers. And that was their only opportunity in life, was to pick tobacco. And February 1948, my dad went into the military at 17 years of age. And by 1950, he was over in Korea and then to France and to Holland and to our family, Japan. I have a sister born in Japan. We traveled all over the world. But I must say that watching my grandparents, watching my parents, as the civil rights movement unfolded, it really shaped their thinking and shaped our thinking. And we were taught not to judge people by the color of their skin, but to judge people by the content of their character, as Dr. King said. And we were taught that don't judge a book by the cover. Don't look at the color of someone's skin. And all of those things, I don't know that we would have had that outlook had it not been for Dr. King and the civil rights movement. We would have grown up differently. We would have had to depend on the grace of God to reach us a different way, if you will. And so just profoundly grateful. Someone says, well, tell us about the federal holiday tomorrow. It is a federal holiday. Dr. King, of course, he was not the only leader in the civil rights movement. There were many, and he was probably the most visible, obviously the most visible, I'd say. From 1950 right until the day he was assassinated, April the 4th, 1968. But many sacrifices were made, and his speeches are all famous. But I thank God that our country celebrates this as a federal holiday. And if you've never heard or been educated about Dr. King, then I encourage you to do that. There's a great peaceful march tomorrow. I've been there many times with my family. And so we're just profoundly grateful for all that's been imparted to
us in our lives. So, again, we're on the cusp of the federal holiday, and I'm grateful for it. All right. So could I put my two cents in there? Is that okay? All right. So, all right. Well, tonight in 2 Kings, chapter 6 is where we're going. 2 Kings, chapter 6. And I was worshiping God, praying in the Holy Spirit, asking God what to minister on several days ago, thinking about tonight. And I was just finished worshiping God, and my Bible fell open, and I started to read. And as I read, the Lord spoke to me, and some rhema words came right off this page. And so tonight's message was birthed right out of that. My Bible fell open to this chapter, and I read, and the Lord confirmed to me that we were to speak on this tonight. Okay, in 2 Kings chapter 6, really there's three things I want to highlight here tonight. There are three statements that are made by three different individuals, and these three statements, if you will, are markers as to where the faith of these individuals were. And the first one is the prophet Elisha, his servant. Now, what's going on with the prophet Elisha is Israel was at war with Aram. And the king of Aram had a battle plan to defeat Israel. And in the king of Aram's battle plan, as it says in the first part of 2 Kings chapter 6, he had decided he was going to attack Israel, their troops, at a certain place. And every time he would prepare to attack them there, Israel would get some inside information, some inside intel, if you will. And they would know that's where he's going to attack. And then they would gird themselves there. And the king of Aram couldn't defeat Israel. He kept coming up with a game plan to attack them. He'd go to attack them. Israel would find out about the attack, and they would prepare themselves. You say, how did Israel find out about the attack? Well, God gave the inside information through the prophet Elisha. And God started telling Elisha all of the enemy's plans. And Elisha relayed the plans to the king of Aram. And in chapter 6, the king of Aram, he's so mad. He's furious. And he says, will you tell me who that works for me, that's on our side, who is a spy for Israel? Who is it? Because every time I try to attack them, they find out about it, and I can't defeat them. They keep getting information. Somebody here has got to be telling them. And then somebody tells the king of Aram, oh, it's no spy. It's Elisha the prophet in Israel, and God's speaking to him. And he says, the person said, well, Elisha, the very secrets you speak, King, the very secrets that you speak, Elisha is able to hear the secrets you're saying in your bedroom. And he's telling them to the king of Israel. And so the king of Aram says, well, then we're going to get Elisha. And so he sends a large segment of troops to Dothan, where Elisha was from, and they surround Elisha. They surround the city of Dothan. And they've got it outgunned, outmanned. And the Bible says that just above where we're reading here, that Elisha's servant comes out. And he comes out, and when he comes out in the morning, he looks up and he looks around the mountain around Dothan, and he can see the king of Aram has them completely surrounded. They're just completely encircled. And this makes Elisha's servant very, very nervous. And this is where our story picks up. We're in 2 Kings. We are in chapter 6, and we're at verse 15. It says, now when the attendant, I'm reading from the New American Standard, when the attendant of the man of God had risen early and gone out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was circling the city. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? So he answered, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Now, that's kind of a funny statement because, you know, you can tell the different perspectives. One of them, Elisha's walking in the spirit and his servant's walking in the flesh. Have you ever faced a problem yourself that just drew you into the flesh where you could just see the problem? You know God's real, you know God's there, but you become more cognizant suddenly of how big your problem is. Anybody ever been there but me? And so the servant says, "Alas, my master, what shall we do? What shall we do?" And I kind of reworded that in my own vernacular to say this is what he was saying. What are we going to do now? What in the world are we going to do now? The enemy has surrounded us. We can't get away. We can't escape. We can't call for help. We can't get anybody in. They got us surrounded. We can't get out. What in the world are we going to do now? I wonder, has anybody here, you ever been in a what in the world am I going to do now scenario? Anybody? I've been in many what in the world am I going to do now? What in the world am I going to do now? What in the world? What in the world am I going to do now? I remember after my dad died in 2014 and I flew to Jersey. I preached his funeral and I took care of all of the initial business. But one of the big things I had to do was I had to sell his house. And he built the house 30 years ago. And I don't think my dad, he wasn't a hoarder, but he just, you know, he just had old heavy furniture that didn't have any intrinsic value to anybody in the family. And just, you know, he just kept so many things in that house. Two levels, every closet was full, every room was, you know, just full of furniture and stuff. And I was thinking, I've only got about 4 or 5 days, and I've got to be able to get this house cleared out. And I've got to be able to get this house on the market before I get on the plane headed back to Tulsa. And I was in his living room, everybody was gone, just me. And I was saying to myself, what am I going to do now? How in the world am I going to get this done? The task just seemed too daunting. I don't even know. I'd called the Salvation Army, a few of the local charities. They said they don't take anything cloth, no cloth furniture. I said, it's in really good shape, really beautiful cloth. They said, if it has cloth, we don't take it here. And I got just a few days. What am I going to do now? Not only do I have to get that furniture out of the house, I've got to get the house on the market. I need a real estate agent. I don't know anybody there. I've been gone from Jersey so long. I need to find a real estate agent. I'm thinking, what am I going to do now? Not only do I need a real estate agent, I need an attorney. There, my dad did this will thing on LegalZoom.com. I've got to make sure that, the right judge is able to look at that and approve that. I don't know any attorneys there. I've got to get an attorney really quick. I've got to move quick. I've got to make critical decisions. What am I going to do now? Anybody ever been there? Yeah. I never forget sitting there in his living room by myself. It just seemed like down here in my belly, I didn't hear a physical voice, but just seemed I felt impressed with this. You already know what to do. And I thought for a half a second, I don't know what to do. That's why I'm asking, what am I going to do now? But down here, it just seems so strong. You already know. You already know what to do. You already know what to do. And then I looked down. I could see my guitar. I'd taken my guitar with me, you know, and I could see my guitar there. And I thought, oh, Lord, I know exactly what to do. I know exactly what to do. I'm going to enter into worship. I'm going to spend a few moments worshiping you, get my heart yielded over to you. I'm going to take some time and pray and ask you what to do. Pray in the spirit and get your will and your plan. And then I'm going to follow that plan. Just walk it out. And I picked my guitar up and began to worship the Lord. And I'll never forget, the sweet peace of God came all over me. Yeah. And then I never forget, just on my phone, I just Googled attorneys. And you know, there's just, you know, hundreds, look like hundreds of, you could just scroll. But it seemed like within a matter of moments, three of them just seemed good. These three just seemed good. And in a matter of moments after that, that one of them just stood out. That this name just seems good. Never met that person. Did the same thing for real estate agents. You could just scroll. But in a matter of moments, just three of them stood out. And in a matter of moments after that, one of them stood out. Yeah. You say, what happened? Well, I hired those two. I hired that attorney and I hired that real estate agent. That real estate agent is his brother. I didn't know it. I didn't even know that real estate agent. But his brother built my dad's house. And when he came over, he said, my brother built the houses in this neighborhood. I wonder if he built your dad's house. And he told me, he said he always put his signature on one of the beams up in the attic. He always signed it and dated it when the house was built with his name. He said, can we go up there and take a look? I went up there with him, saw his brother's name signed right on that beam. And he said, I'm going to help you. I'm going to do whatever it takes. My brother's gone. His brother had moved to heaven. He said, I'm in my brother's name, in my brother's memory, I'm going to help you get this house sold. And he did. And I couldn't have done it without him. But he went to work. He was a Christian brother, and he went to work. And I mean, I could tell you some things that that man did for me. But he, oh, my goodness. I'll tell you this one. I got a call from my dad's electric company. I'm here in Tulsa. And they said, all the power has gone out at the house. And there's something wrong. Can you get somebody over there? Well, I don't know anybody over there who lives near my dad. But this brother, the real estate agent, he went over there. And then when I called the electric company, they said, we'll send somebody out, but somebody's got to be there and wait. He waited. When they came out and inspected my dad's furnace, they said, the guy called me. He said, listen, he said, Mr. Ray, he said, really, the part that's broken on your dad's furnace is a $25 part. I've got it in the truck. Once I put it in, it's going to cost $250. It's just a matter of taking a couple of screws out and putting this one part on there. If you have anybody who can do that, I don't want to charge you $250 when it's $25. Just go to Lowe's, get it. It's $25. That guy, the real estate agent, got on the phone and said, I'll go to Lowe's and get it. I'll put it on. I'm telling you, brother was a blessing. Just sent from God. Yeah. And then helped me get the house sold too. I remember another brother told me, I'll share this, we'll keep moving. But I could tell you so many stories about how God helped me after that. When I was saying, what am I going to do now? With all the furniture, you say, what happened with all the furniture in your dad's house? Well, out of the blue, an Italian brother named Anthony Polo, he called me from my dad's church. And he said, I loved your dad. He said, your dad would roll into church every Sunday morning, and that GTO just rumbling. You could hear the motor rumbling on his GTO. And he said, I'd always wave him in, you know, to his parking spot. And that big, he said, that GTO, just that motor just going, your dad and I grinning, you know. And he said, is there anything I can do to help you? And I said, you know one thing, brother, I don't expect this, but what I actually need is somebody to help me move furniture out of his house. And he said, let me call you back. And he called me back. Anthony called me back. And he said, brother, I've called the pastor of the church. He said, we have a ministry to people who we've gotten off the street. We've trained them and taught them a skill. And he said, we instruct them and teach them in the word and in skills. And he said, we're going to send the whole crew of 8 over to you. And he said, we'll send them to you all week. You can have them 5 days if you want, 8 hours a day. All you got to do is feed them. We're paying them at the church, so we're already paying them. All you got to do is feed them. And those brothers came over, and it took all of them. They showed up in 2 vans, and they helped me get everything out of that house. What are you going to do now? When Elisha heard the words, what are you going to do now? He said, brother, there's more with us than against us. You got your eyes on the wrong thing. You've got to get your eyes on the wrong thing. And if you're asking because you have a situation like I had, if you have a situation like that tonight, if you're facing a scenario like that and you're asking yourself, what am I going to do now? You're going to have to get your eyes on the Lord. You have at least 2 sets of eyes. You have your natural eyeballs, but then you have eyes down here in your spirit. And Elisha said, there are more with us than there are against us. And after that, Elisha says, Lord, open his eyes. Open his eyes. Let him see what I see. Let him see from my perspective. Let him see, not from up here. Let him see from here. And the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he could see that there were chariots of fire all around the army that had Elisha encircled. God had an army all around them. So Elisha wasn't any fear because he knew God's got him outnumbered already. I've already got the victory. And if you'll learn to see with the eyes of your spirit instead of just looking from a natural perspective, God's already got your answer. I said, God already knows what you need to do in your scenario. He's already got the answer for you. Over in Romans chapter 8, verse 31 and 37. Look there real quick. Keep your finger right there at 2 Kings. We're going right back there. Keep your finger there. But go with me to Romans chapter 8, verse 31 and then 37. Romans 8, 31 first. What then shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? I said, come on now. That'll preach any day of the week. I said, you and God are a majority. I said, you and God are all you need. I said, God's got the answer to your financial situation. God's got the answer to the crisis that you're facing. God's got the answer that you've been scratching your head trying to figure out. God's already got the answer. And if he be for you, oh, if God's favor be upon you, if God's hand be on you, who can be against you if God be? I wish I had an amen in here. I said, when God put his favor on a man, when he puts his favor on a woman, there ain't nothing you can do to stop him. When God opens doors for you, nobody will be able to close those doors. If God be for us, who can be against? Sound just like what Elisha said. And then over in 37, Romans 8, 37, but in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. We're not just conquerors, we overwhelmingly conquer. Glory be to God. I said, are you in Christ tonight? How many people do I have in Christ? You'll just say, I'm in Christ, I'm in Christ, I'm in Christ. Then you are an overwhelming conqueror right now tonight. Sitting right there in your seat, watching right there from your home. You an overwhelming conqueror. I wish I had a bigger amen than that. God be for you, then who can be against you? You've got to watch when you start allowing yourself to ask these questions. What are we going to do now? What are we going to do now? Oh, God, what are we going to do? What are we going to do now? Oh, God, what are we going to do? What are we going to do now? What are we going to do now? Oh, God, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? You know, most of my stories, I was on a plane. I was on a FedEx plane one day headed out of Memphis, Tennessee. Big old DC-10. We took off that big old DC-10 loaded, packed with freight. We're headed to Newark, New Jersey. I'm in a jump seat, two other jump seaters, and all of a sudden, boom! And that big DC-10 looked like it was dropping out of the sky. The engine exploded, and we were falling to the out of the sky this way. And then the captain tried to get it back corrected. He overcorrected, and we were going down that way. But I didn't ask myself that night, "What are we going to do now?" There were some people next to me saying, "What are we going to do now?" I was praying in a brand new tongue. I was saying, in Jesus' name, this thing is not going down. In Jesus' name. I said, amen. I said, we sung tonight, there's power in Jesus' name. What are we going to do now? Use his name. What are we going to do now? Use the word. What are we going to do now? Call on the blood. What are we going to do now? Hey, there are angels working in your behalf. But let's go on. Let's go on. There's another question. There's another question I want to look at tonight. And it is in this same chapter, 2 Kings chapter 6, and a little further down. And then it's at the bottom of verse 33. At the bottom of verse 33. And the king of Israel sends a messenger. And this is the king's message. The message from the king of Israel is this: why should I wait for the Lord any longer? Why should I wait for the Lord any longer? Now, here in this scenario, the king of Israel was upset. He felt, you could say it this way, he felt that God had let the nation down. The same previous king of Aram had come to Israel. Now, the first time we saw him, he went to Dothan, surrounded Elisha. This time, he comes to Israel and comes to the capital city, and he brings his whole army and besieges it. And he sets up these ramps where they can just scale the walls. Israel had scaled walls, and they set up ramps so that they could just take the city. They were just going to go over the ramp, take the city. Israel was outgunned, outmanned. They surrounded the city, and they cut off all the supplies going into the city. So when you can't get food into the city, people are starving. And so just barley and flour and just the simple necessities of life are not available any longer. There's such a chokehold on the city. And the king of Aram is starving Israel out. And the king of Israel is mad at God. And when he comes to Elisha, he says this: why should I wait for the Lord any longer? It's like saying the Lord's already disappointed me. It's like saying the Lord has let me down. And sometimes people go through situations, sad situations, and sometimes they get the wrong perspective about it. And sometimes they start thinking that God has somehow let them down. Oh, brother, can't get an amen teaching like this now. But sometimes when things don't work out just the way you thought, Sometimes people start feeling, well, God, you let me down this time. Somebody said, I was believing for grandma and grandma didn't get healed and grandma went to heaven and people conclude, God, you let me down. Somebody says, well, I was believing that on my job, they were talking about layoffs and I was quoting the word and I was believing that I wasn't going to get a layoff, but then they bought me a pink slip and they laid me off and God, you let me down. The king said, why? Why should I wait on the Lord any longer? And sometimes when people get to feeling that God has let them down, then that's a terrible place to be. It's a vulnerable place to be. It's a terrible, because when a person starts feeling that God has let them down, then they lose hope. And they just start acting independently of God, and they start acting independently of God's word, and they make a bad situation worse. Why should I even wait on the Lord any longer? The king said. Someone said, I was believing for that home and my application didn't get approved, brother. Why should I wait on the Lord any longer? Why should I trust God again? Oh, but I want you to know that God loves you so much. And in spite of what you may think tonight, God has never let you down. He has never failed you. You may have a misunderstanding about what happened. You may be hurt and frustrated. We've all been there. I remember when my sweet mama died, I was on the way to see her. I was trying to get to her. I was trying to get to my sweet mama. Traveling out of Richmond, Virginia and delayed and then missed flights. My car broke down, all kind of things. And then when I tried to get there, I got to the rental car counter in Newark Airport. Then they closed at midnight. They usually open all night now, but then they closed at midnight, got to the counter 12:05, 5 minutes after midnight, they just closed. I'm trying to get to my mama. She died by morning's light. And I was asking God, what happened? God, what happened? And sometimes, my friend, God shows us and reveals to us why certain things happen. And there are other times when we just don't know. Deuteronomy 29:29 gives us to know. Deuteronomy 29:29 gives us to know that the secret things belong to the Lord. The things revealed belong to God's children forever, but the secret things belong to the Lord. And there are some things, if the Lord don't tell you what it is, then what you need to do is don't touch that in your thought life. Oh, that's a good point. Oh, I should have had amen there. I did a better job teaching that than y'all did saying amen. If God tells you, that's one thing. But if God don't tell you, it means he wants you to trust him. And can I tell you this? Can I let you in on a little secret? You and I don't know everything. I know that's a news flash. We don't know everything. We have finite minds, finite brain, finite information. And so there are some things, when we don't know, that means automatically go into trust mode, go into trust God mode, trust God mode. You understand what I'm saying? The Hebrew boys don't turn there. Daniel chapter 3, verse 17. They said in Daniel 3, 17, they said in answer to Nebuchadnezzar, they said, we're just going to let you know right now, king, that we're not going to bow. We're not going to bow. They said, our God, whom we serve continually day and night, he's going to deliver us. He's going to deliver us from your furnace. He's going to deliver us from all of your persecution. Our God is going to deliver us. That was Daniel 3, 17. Daniel 3, 18. Then they said, but if he doesn't, we're still not going to serve you. We're still not going to bow. And you know the rest of the story. The king threw him into the furnace, but there was a fourth man entered that furnace with him, and they came out, didn't even have the smell of smoke. God delivered them from the heat, delivered them from the fire, delivered them from even the smell of smoke. The people who threw him in died because of the heat. But God delivered them. What's your point? When you think God has disappointed you, listen, you need a different perspective. Because you need to understand God has never failed you and he never will fail you. God can do anything but lie or fail. And you can write this down and take it to the bank. We don't have time to go there, but I'll give you the reference. You can go there. Hebrews 6, 13 through 18. 18 is the one you want. Hebrews 6, 13 through 18, but 18 is the verse you want. Because God has never lied. God cannot lie. God has sworn an oath by his name, and God has given us exceeding promises. And because of his oath and because of his promises, he cannot lie. And the Bible says this, let God be true, but every man be a liar. If you're gonna compare that to God. Why should I wait on the Lord any longer? Write the scripture down. Isaiah 40, 27 through 31. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings like eagles, and they'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. That was Isaiah 40, 27 through 31. Why should you wait on the Lord? It pays to wait on the Lord. Why should you trust God in spite of your disappointment? It pays to trust him. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Trust him anyway. God has never failed. Write this down. Joshua 21. Joshua 21, 43 through 45. You know what it says there? Joshua 21, 43 to 45. You know what it says? It says, of all the promises that God made to Israel about the promised land, every one of them came to pass. All of the land God promised to give them, it came to pass. The fruit, the land flowing with milk and honey, it came to pass. Everything that God promised Israel about the promised land came to pass. Yeah. And so just because you can't see it now. In my sweet mama's case, you know, the Lord showed me later. He showed me later. My mama was ready to go home, and she didn't want to disappoint me. And I'd keep showing up. I'd get my mama all built up in faith again. And then I'd leave, go back doing ministry. And then my mom would be wanting to go to heaven. I thank God I never got there. If I'd got there, I would have done the same thing that I did every other time I saw my mom. Let's get in the Word, Mom. Let's get in the Word. Let's get you built up. There's nothing wrong with it. Obviously, there's something good about getting in the Word. But what I'm saying is, I was trying to prevent my mama from going to heaven when she was ready to go. And when you love somebody, you're just never ready for them to go. And it's hard to understand sometimes when they become ready to go. A brother can't get an amen teaching that. But sometimes there are things that we just don't know. And the Lord showed me that my mama was ready to go. And I just wouldn't let her go. I wouldn't listen, and I wouldn't let her go. And I kept building her back up, and she wasn't strong enough, and she was ready to go. I thank God. I thank God that she left this earth before I got there. Finally, in the minute that we have, one more, real quick now. We're in 2 Kings chapter 7. Look real quick. You're going to look at verse 2. Things had gotten so bad in Israel that the king was leaning on his servant, on his main servant, and Elisha was speaking about the goodness of God, and the king was complaining about how the king of Aram had surrounded the city, and they were all going to die. They were doomed to die. The nails had been put in. And so Elisha prophesies right in the midst of the doom and gloom, and he says, tomorrow about this time, you're going to be buying wheat. You're going to be buying barley and a donkey's head. You're going to be buying all the things you can't get now. Tomorrow, about this time, you're going to be able to buy that stuff real cheap. It's going to be an abundance of it. And the king's leaning on his servant. And the servant says, there ain't no way that could happen. If God opened the windows of heaven, there's no way that could happen by tomorrow. And Elisha says to him, prophesies to him, because of your words, you're going to see it with your eyes, but you're not going to participate in it. You're not going to participate. And that exact thing happened because God chased off the king of Aram, and all of their tents were left empty by the next morning. And four lepers found just their tents and all of their spoils. And it took Israel 3 days to gather all those spoils in and bring all those spoils home. And the king of Israel, his servant, who had said, if God opened a window of heaven, he couldn't do this by tomorrow. God couldn't do it if he opened a window of heaven. That next day, as Israel was going in to get all the spoils, they knocked him down and trampled him to death. He was at the gate just monitoring the crowd, and the crowd knocked him down, and then in an effort to get all the spoils, they trampled him to death. And so he saw it with his own eyes, just like Elisha had said, but he never received it. So what's your point? If you doubt it, you'll do without it. If you doubt that, you'll do without it. When God tells you something, if you doubt it, you'll do without it. What was your first point? If God be for you, who can be against you? What was your second point? Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. What's your third point? If you doubt it, you'll do without it. Don't do without it. God's got blessing for you. God's got provision for you. God's got help for you. God's got whatever you need. God's got it. And not only that, not only does he have it, he wants you to have it. Do what Pastor taught today about the power of speaking God's word. Don't speak your complaints. Don't speak your thoughts. Don't speak your negativism. Speak God's word. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much tonight. And these few moments we've been able to encourage your people. And Father, we thank you for the word. It always, Father, heals, strengthens, restores, rebuilds, delivers, set free. Thank you for the power of your word tonight. Thank you for helping those at home who are viewing. Thank you for helping those who are viewing in some type of secondary format, maybe delayed, hearing this by some type of tape delay. Father, thank you for helping everyone here. Thank you, Father God, that whatever the questions people have had, thank you that you've got the answer. Thank you that if you be for us, who can be against us? Thank you that those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. It pays to wait on you. Thank you, Father. If we doubt that, doubt your word, we'll do without it. Father, we don't want to do without one single thing that you've provided for us tonight. So we trust you, and we do like Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. With every head bowed tonight, if you're here, you need prayer. You say, Brother Bill, I'm not saved tonight. I don't have the assurance of heaven. I don't know I'd go to heaven tonight if I were to die. If I passed from this earth, I'm not sure what would happen to me. Let me see your hand. I want to pray for you. Anybody here like that? If you pass from this earth right now tonight, you don't know what would happen to you. Anybody here like that? Help me if you see anybody. Anybody here and you're living, you're a Christian, you've received God, but you know you're not living for him. You're not living for him, but you want to make it right tonight. You want to get right with God. Anybody here like that? Pray for me. I want to get right with the Lord. My heart's not right, and I want to make it right with the Lord. Anybody? Okay. All right, Father, seeing no hands, we thank you for those who are watching and viewing and listening in some other format, and we thank you for your saving power, your healing power. And we thank you for all that you're doing to deliver and help your people. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you're watching and you prayed that prayer or want someone to pray with you or you want some information, you can write in to partnerservice@rhema.org. Someone will be there to promptly respond to your need. My friends, such a joy to minister God's word to you tonight. And again, you know, do something in your own way in honor of Dr. King's birthday tomorrow. I encourage you. And then be here on Wednesday, Hour of Power. And then right back Sunday, 9 o'clock, School of the Bible Hour. And then powerful word Sunday morning at 10 a.m. So we love you. We appreciate each and every one of you. We thank you for coming out to the house of God tonight. Are we all clear? Okay. You are dismissed. God bless you, one and all.